Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Man, I'll tell you what. Tom Brady has mastered, he's got a degree from the Derek Jeter School of Interviews. Because he has found a way, like Jeter did for his entire Yankees career, to say a lot without saying anything. I mean, Brady, very rarely does he slip up and actually answer a question without giving you the most guarded football answers. And I guess if there was any hope, that would change now that he's got Bruce Arians, a coach that allows for more player freedom, overseeing the football operations there, no longer the Bill Belichick rule, dictatorship. Nope, it's just same old Brady, year 20. Still giving you no bulletin board material, no real, honest, deep looks into how he's thinking or feeling. Getting ready for the Saints, though. And now we are less than 24 hours away from that game. At this time tomorrow, I think most of you in the audience, if you can get to a television, will be watching Tom Brady and the Bucs, his first start in Tampa, his first start after six Super Bowl wins in New England with the Buccaneers. In a test right out of the gate in New Orleans against the Saints, no fans at the Superdome. In one respect, it's easier to play there because there won't be fans, and if the game were later in the year, that would be a factor. But it's also, from the Saints' perspective, a good time to see Tampa because you would think new system, new supporting cast, Brady's not going to be fully comfortable in Tampa week one. It's going to take some time. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio, thank you for finding me today. Wherever you are, AM, FM, terrestrial radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, CBSSportsRadio.com, the CBS Sports app, the Radio.com app. Notre Dame leads Duke 17-6, 4 minutes to go in the third quarter after 131 years. Notre Dame, for 1 year only, one night only, joining the ACC. So we'll continue to keep you up to date on that game. Clemson plays tonight. Oklahoma plays tonight. SEC plays in 2 weeks. Tom Brady, your expectations for him this year. What do you think he'll look like at 43 years old outside of the New England bubble? Now that he's no longer playing for the greatest coach in NFL history, and he's doing it at such an advanced age, he's going to accrue very quickly. He's going to be truly the oldest quarterback to get significant playing time. I mean, that's going to happen this year. We know about all his workout methods and all the fitness and dietary things he does to try to slow down father time. That's obviously very well documented. So he's giving himself a puncher's chance. I just want to know what you think he's going to do in Tampa this year. Because I can tell you, it seems like the odds makers, the people who have the most to gain, the most to lose, you know, obviously other than the Buccaneers organization and the NFL, like the people outside of the teams that have the most to gain or lose off of Brady are the people that allow you to wager on this. And they seem to think that Tampa's overrated. Their win total is only 9.5, which is low for a Brady team. It's about the same as New England's with Cam Newton. Their Super Bowl odds are in the upper third, but they're not at the top. They're not the Chiefs. They're not the Ravens. They're that second tier. But everybody I talk to, and I talk to a lot of people, I work for FanDuel, and I talk to their head odds maker quite often, and he says every week to me, we're taking a ton of bets on Tampa. Everybody is betting them, but we're okay with that. They are purposefully leaving themselves vulnerable on the Bucs, and that just fascinates me. That, like, their mantra, and obviously this is not a lone wolf way of looking at it. It seems like the entire industry, the entire sports betting industry, the people that take the bets seem comfortable with taking all the Bucs action. That it's a team, almost, this is going to be wild, and I can't believe I'm saying this, almost like the Browns last year, where the fans get a perception of a team, but it's not reality. That seems to be what's happening here. And I get it. P.T. Barnum once said, a sucker is born every second. I guess I'm a sucker. Get me a lollipop. Because that's how I feel. I like Brady in Tampa this year. Yeah, you've always got this whole, nature versus nurture debate that goes on. You know, what or who is responsible for someone's successes and failures? And, so is it the New England system? Is it the Patriots? Are they the biggest reason why Brady was elevated to 6-time Super Bowl champion and the greatest quarterback of all time? He's going to find out that the grass isn't greener on the other side. You've got that. What you really have, though, I think, is we're going to learn this year, if Tom Brady struggled last year and played like an average quarterback, and that's just the facts, he was average. Everything about his production last year was average. His passer rating was average. His QBR was average. Two ways of measuring quarterbacks. His passer rating was 18th, same as Jacoby Brissett. His QBR was 16th, same as Jameis Winston. He wasn't good. He was just average. And so we're going to figure out if he was average because of age, 42 years old, now 43, or was he average because the supporting cast in New England just wasn't up to snuff? Sony Michel was never healthy at running back. N'Keal Harry was a first-round bust at wide receiver. Julian Edelman led the league in drops. Mohamed Sanu was a trade bust. They never replaced Gronk. Benjamin Watson was their leading receiver at tight end at 38 years old. Terrible supporting cast. Now he's got the exact opposite. Now he's got Mike Evans, who has been upgraded to questionable from doubtful for Sunday's game. That's gives you hope that a guy that's produced 1,000 yards every year will play. He's been a consistently great wide receiver. Chris Godwin. I mean, do I need to go through the names? Maybe I should. Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette. The Fournette move by Tampa Bay was a page right out of the New England playbook. That's a move that the Buccaneers stole from Brady's old team, maybe at Brady's behest, maybe at his urging. No team has taken advantage of kind of thrown away, discarded players than Bill Belichick. He loves those guys. He loves the low-risk, high-reward player. And so that's what the Patriots get in Leonard Fournette. So Brady's going to have to adapt to a new offensive line. Now, his line in New England wasn't very good last year. I think this line in Tampa is probably average. But a quarterback can, I think, kind of... You can get the... You can get the putty out or the paint out, and you can cover up for some of the holes in an offensive line if you get the ball out fast, and we know Brady loves to do that. And he's got the playmakers to want to get him the ball, too. So, I think the ingredients are there in Tampa. If Brady flops, it's going to be on him. Because they've got everything else. They've got the receivers. They've got the tight ends. They've got the running backs. They've got a halfway decent line. They've got a head coach that has worked wonders with quarterbacks. He rescued Carson Palmer. He won a Super Bowl with Roethlisberger. He coached Andrew Luck as a rookie. I mean, this is a quarterback whisperer coach. So the coach isn't a problem for the quarterback. The Bucs defense, I think, is good. They were the best run defense in the NFL last year. They found a way to keep Shaq Barrett around. The Bucs defense is not going to be a liability. So everything is there for Brady to succeed. It's just a matter of whether or not you think he's got anything left in the tank. And I think he does. I think there were just enough excuses last year in New England to rationalize the way Brady played. Guys couldn't get open. They made it easy on defenses. At 42, he's not Patrick Mahomes anymore. He needs help. And he's going to get that in bunches in Tampa Bay. So, I am expecting big things. I am inclined to believe that Brady's struggles were a result of the people around him last year. I anticipate he'll have a big year. And I want to know if you feel the same way. Do you think that Tampa's fool's gold? Everything is there. It's a turnkey team for a quarterback. They've got the coaching. They've got the personnel. Do you think Brady can still, at 43, take advantage of it? My answer is yes. What's yours? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. During that monologue, I didn't want to break up my rhythm. I watched Duke score a touchdown. So they are back in the game here in South Bend against Notre Dame. It's a four-point game. Notre Dame are three-touchdown favorites there in their ACC debut with a veteran quarterback and a coach that just got a raise in Brian Kelly. And they're at home, and they do have a little bit of a home field advantage because there are students there. So not a great start for Notre Dame. They might win, but it looks like you're going to have to buckle up for the conclusion of that game. Or they could just play like North Carolina, who led 10-6 on Syracuse after three quarters and ended up winning by 25 points. But Syracuse stinks. Duke's got a coach in Cutcliffe and a veteran quarterback in Bryce, even though he's a transfer. Now I'm starting to think they're going to keep that game close. The Bucs, the most talked about team, probably the most talked about player in NFL history in Tom Brady. And I want to talk about him some more, because this is the last time we'll get a chance to talk and predict and project what he's going to do this year. You know, it's easier to talk about a player after one game is in the books. You've got something to go by. We don't know yet what Tom Brady is going to look like in Tampa. I think it'll be a fountain of youth season. Maybe I'm falling for it. Maybe I'm a sucker for it. I want to know what you think, though, at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you're shy about calling, you can always tweet me and follow me there, please. At the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I, like the last four letters of my last name, and Express spelled like it is conventionally. You can follow us on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio. I've got three college games on in studio. Well, I guess two right now because Georgia Tech, Florida State are still in a weather delay. Lightning there. They're up 7-0 on Georgia Tech. It's still the first quarter. I'm in Pittsburgh broadcasting from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So I also have Pitt Austin Peay on. And Pitt is up 35, about to kick an extra point to make it 35-0 with 5 minutes left. They had seven players who at last second, I'm talking about Pitt, that were held out of this game, I think because we'll get answers after the game because of COVID issues. But the game still went on. It's different, man. It's interesting that, think about this. College football, we're guessing because of positive tests here, but it's a hypothesis, it's not a shot in the dark here, that players are being held out because of COVID-19 reasons. And the games are still getting played. You compare that to Major League Baseball, where with the Giants right now, we have one person in the organization. We don't know if it's a player. We don't know if it's a clubhouse guy. We don't know if it's a third base coach. One person is tested positive. They're not playing right now because of it. I want to know what happens in the NFL if a player tests positive, what that means for a game. That's why I'm holding my breath and keeping my fingers crossed that we'll get a full NFL Sunday tomorrow. I want to know what you think of Tom Brady. This is your last chance, really, to talk about what you think he'll be this year, because tomorrow we'll get some answers. And it's not a game where, you know, you'd look at it and afterwards you say, well, they only beat blank. They only beat the Jets, or they only beat the Dolphins, or they only beat the Panthers. No, it's the Saints. It's a true test right out of the box for Brady and his new team. I want to know if you think Brady will bounce back there. Or if you, after watching last year, think 43 is 43, he's done. This is a retirement check in Tampa, and he's got nothing left. He's on E. He's on empty. The odds makers seem to think the Bucs are a fraud, and that Brady is going to struggle there. And I want to know if you agree or disagree with that at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Some of your thoughts coming up next. Glad that you're on board the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
Notre Dame looked like a top 10 team for the first time just now. They're playing today. They're in the ACC for 1 year and 1 year only, and then it's back to independent status like the last 130 years. Of Notre Dame football. 15 play, I saw, 83 yard drive in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter here to go up 24-13 on Duke. They're a 3-touchdown favorite. Yeah, if the ranking says, and think about it, they were a top 10 team before the Big Ten and Pac 12 postponed. The Big Ten and Pac 12 postponed. So, really, among the teams that are still playing, they're much closer to a top five team. No Ohio State, no Penn State, no Oregon. This is the type of game that Notre Dame should win in a blowout. If you really are a top 10 team, and this is why people have a problem with Notre Dame and always think they're overrated and get too much love and get too much attention, you know, blow out a team like Duke. Duke hasn't finished higher than sixth in the ACC in 4 years. They're under 500 in the ACC in conference games the last 4 years. You're at home. They're breaking in a new quarterback. Blow them out. 11 minutes to go there, 24-13 Notre Dame. We'll keep our eye on that for you. I want to get your thoughts on Tom Brady. And last call on how you project and how you expect him to play this year. Big things or big bust in Tampa. 855-212-4227. That number is brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I don't like the Mike Evans thing. You want him to build a rapport with the best receiver there right from day one. And if Evans is out, you know, that makes me wonder, is he going to be hampered by this hamstring thing the whole year? That could potentially be already one thing working against Brady in his new spot, but this is what probably attracted him to Tampa. It's not just one weapon. There's a lot there. So if one goes down, it's an opportunity potentially for someone else to get more involved in the offense. So I think last year his problems were not because of age. It was because of who was around him in the New England offense. And now that supporting cast gets much, much better this year. But what do you think? 855-212-4227. Here's Lee in Houston on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Lee.
I mean, there's no doubt, sir, that Tom Brady's going to dominate. It's not even about him. It's about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and him being on a completely stacked team. He doesn't have to be great to look great on this team. As long as he shows up and is not completely 110% washed up, he's going to dominate. This is the best weapons in the NFL. It's just too easy for the man. He's a genius to take this opportunity. It's not like he has to even be good. He just has to show up, and everything will take care of it.
Okay, well, hey, you say too easy. That's not what the odds makers think. They think New Orleans is still the team to beat in that division. And they're going to have to reconcile and figure out there in Tampa. You know, this is, I guess I'm playing devil's advocate against myself because that guy was just a little over the top for my taste. They're going to have to figure out who they are offensively. Is it more of Brady take what the defense gives you, or is it Bruce Arians bombs away? Who are they? I don't think Brady wants to play bombs away. I think he'll take shots. He did with Randy Moss. It's not always going to be death by a thousand paper cuts with the Brady offense. He'll air it out. But that's been Arians' MO everywhere he's been. Hold on to the ball for a while and just let it rip. That's not Brady. But I don't think Brady would have signed up to play there if it was, hey, we're going to put the square peg in the round hole. You're going to do it our way or the highway. Like, I just don't. I think it'll be more of a Brady offense than a New England offense. Here's Charles in Louisiana on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay. But right now, it's already in the season. Tom Brady hasn't had a good scrimmage yet, nor has he had a preseason. So him and the receiver going to have to work things out between each other.
Okay, even if there had been a preseason, how much do you think Brady would have played in it?
Probably about a third of a quarter each game.
No way. He would not have played a third of a quarter each game. He would not have been out there in the fourth game risking it. He would have gotten very little work in. And the speed of the preseason game isn't even close. I think that's so overrated. For a guy that is going into his 20th year in the NFL. I know it's a new team, but you're telling me in a third preseason game, that's when everything clicks, and that would have given him just enough to be ready to just ball out in week one? Come on. Patrick's in Canada. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Pat.
Hi. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sort of somewhere in between for Brady. I think, he's starting to get to that age now where it is going to start to slow him down. Like, he's still going to put up decent numbers with the offense he has there, but I don't think it's going to be necessarily a bust, but I don't think it's going to be a boom either.
But, so what's middle? Know, like, what is a middle, in your opinion? Because I think the answer here might vary. Well, what, in Patrick's opinion, is like just a... What would be the definition of a so-so Brady Buck season?
A so-so season would be making the playoffs and, I guess, not winning the division. Would be so-so for that roster anyway.
So going one and done in the playoffs.
I would say they may win a round or two, but like you said, I still favor New Orleans in that division.
Well, if they win a round or two, I mean, come on. If they get to the NFC Championship game and lose there, something tells me that Brady is going to have, you know, at that point, I think he's able to say, "I still got it. I told you so." NFC Championship game. He's in the. He's one of only four teams left standing. That to me is not the middle. That's on the high end of the projection for the Bucs. You're a game away, a play away from the Super Bowl. Man, if that's like the middle, what is the high end projection? They go 15-1 and run away with the Super Bowl and kick Kansas City's ass? I think that predictions on Brady are all over the place. I think some football fans think he's going to just be a total stud in Tampa and he's going to, you know, go right back to being an MVP caliber player and the best quarterback in the league now that he has some weapons around him. And I think others like to fall back on, well, look at Father Time. He's undefeated. The Grim Reaper gets everybody and takes that stance. And I don't know if that so much is logical or based on reason as much as it is maybe just Brady or Patriots jealousy. And I don't like, and I am not a New England fan, not even close. But I have a hard time picturing. I can't close my eyes and picture Brady looking like crapola in Tampa this year. Tom is in Illinois. Now he's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm a lifelong Bears fan. So, but I can appreciate Brady Boy. I think they are good.
Well, when you're watching Mitch Trubisky, I think you'll just about appreciate anybody that has a functional arm, right?
I put my mask on over my eyes. Anyway, I don't want to tell you about Dirt. I drew a player last year, 00. His name was Dirt because that's what Trubisky throws to.
Tom,
terrific. Listen, what got me to call was when you said, is Tom just there to get a paycheck? There's absolutely no way. This guy is a competitor. He wants to win. He's a team player. Listen to his press conferences. He never brags about himself. He's always talking team.
He gets that part of it. He absolutely gets that, like, I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to let my actions do the talking more than my words. I'm going to be first in, first out. I'm going to work the hardest. He's going to do all of that. It's not lip service. He means it. I agree with you on that. I don't know if I've heard from a teammate standpoint, and I know guys that have played with him. I don't think I've ever heard a bad word said about him in that regard. Seriously. I haven't found anybody who has played with him that has had a negative thing to say about him, which is remarkable given how many teammates he's had. That is a testament to him. I bet, like, of the things he cares about from his playing career, I bet that's near at the top of the list. Yeah, I don't mean, like, he just wanted another $25 million. I mean, did he get a retirement check? Is he really shot and done? But he just, in his mind, in his head, he thinks he's better than he is right now. Like, he refuses to believe that it's over. That's what I meant by that. Like, is Brady kidding himself? Is he fooling himself into thinking that he can still play? You know, if you had watched him the last 4 weeks in the playoff game against Tennessee, you could have drawn that conclusion. But I don't think that that's processing all the information available to you because of the people that were around him in that New England offense. That, I think, is the problem more than anything else. It was the other 10 guys on the offensive side of the ball, not Brady. Brady didn't look good, but nobody could get open. And his line wasn't great either. So I want to know what you think. We're going to be watching this game 24 hours from now. At this time tomorrow, we'll be smack dab in the middle. It'll be almost halftime of Bucks Saints. And I want to know what you think you'll see. Are we going to see a renaissance season from Tom Brady, a revenge tour, where he shows New England and Bill Belichick that he still got it? Or do you think he's going to be a massive disappointment in Tampa? Or the Saints are still better, and if they make the playoffs, it's not really because of him. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. I want to hear from you on this. The greatest player in NFL history. Will he still look like one this year? If you don't want to call, you can tweet at the Pony Express. Like the name of the show, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
Yes, you are, and it means a lot to me here on CBS Sports Radio. the CBS Sports app, SiriusXM Channel 206, radio.com app as well, which is free to download. You can tell Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio. Can you tell her to play the Pony Express? You probably can. I don't know if she'd be cool if she was smart enough to do that. We might have to get in touch with some of the, you know, technologically more savvy people and see if we can get that ironed out, make that happen. This time tomorrow, we'll be watching Bucks and Saints. And without the benefit of watching Tom Brady play a game, I want to know what you expect out of him in Tampa this year. Do you think they're for real? Do you think he, because of the weapons and those around him, is ready to shine again and look like the greatest quarterback of all time, albeit at the advanced age of 43? Or do you think he's shot and not even this supporting cast will be able to prop him up? Last year, he was an average quarterback. What is he this year? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I have Tampa as the NFC South winner. I've got them over New Orleans. I don't have them going to the Super Bowl. I said earlier in the show, I have Arizona coming out of the NFC. But I think Brady will look great, and I think he'll have a case for the MVP. I don't think he'll win it, but I think he'll be in the conversation. Here is Mike in Minnesota on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to harken back to Brett Favre.
Yeah.
In 2010 versus 2011. Actually, 2009 versus 2010.
Okay.
So, 2009, I'm a huge Vikings fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
2009, I mean, I think he exceeded everyone's expectations and yep. brought us to the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, he was a 42-year-old man who was getting blindsided by 25-year-old, 300-pound players at every single angle.
Yep.
So for you to say that Tom Brady is somehow going to supersede that and become some sort of Superman.
Well, he's better than Favre. So Favre can do it at 42. Why can't Brady do it at 43? He's better than Favre. He's kept himself in better shape than Favre.
Brett Favre's statistics are equal to Tom Brady's on every level.
Okay, so just to make sure I hear you right, except Super Bowls. Just to make sure I hear you right, you think that Favre is Brady's equal?
Yeah, don't you?
Well, I don't know. One Super Bowl compared to six,
right.
that would be a good
know.
Place to
exactly.
start.
That's what I'm saying. You don't
Well, what
know.
Do you mean? I just said 1-6.
Brett Favre is a phenomenal quarterback. What I'm saying, my point is...
Yeah, even your best, even the year you're talking about in Minnesota where he was great. How did that game against the Saints in the NFC Championship game end? What happened in overtime? What did Favre do? He rolled right and threw left and made a horrible play that set New Orleans up with an easy...
He got gang-banged by a bunch of St. Louis dirty players. Yeah. But what I'm saying, though, is if you think a 43-year-old man can withstand...
Yeah, he will. He'll do it much better than Favre will because the difference between Favre and Brady is simple. Favre late in his career, and Favre was a great natural athlete. Brett Favre threw a football better than Tom Brady. If you're just watching guys warm up and you saw the velocity in which they threw the football, Favre threw it harder than Brady. His arm would impress you more. From that vantage point, from what was attached to his right shoulder, there was more God-given talent with Favre, for sure. Here's the difference between the two, though, late in their career. This is so easy. I can't even believe that I'm now one person's wild opinion is now forcing me to explain this to everybody else, but whatever. Favre, for about the last 5 years of his career, every offseason, one foot was in retirement, the other was in playing. Brady has never been like that. After every season ends, as soon as the season is over, he starts getting himself ready for the next year. And Favre never did that. So you either think, like, by that logic, you would think that what you do in the offseason to get yourself ready for football is irrelevant or unimportant. If you think Favre late in his career is an analogy or is an equal or is a good comparison to Tom Brady. Brady was doing everything in his power in the offseason. He was forcing Buccaneers players to practice when it was pretty much against, like, Florida social distancing laws. Favre would hem and haw and go back and forth about whether he even wanted to play football. Here's Kirk in New Mexico on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Kirk.
Yes, I want to praise the great Matt Castle.
Okay. Reason 11
said,
and 5.
The reason I said is Brady is a system quarterback. If Brett Favre was in the system that Brady's was in, we would be talking about Favre being the GOAT.
Do you know if Bill Belichick, do you know what his record is when he doesn't have Brady as his quarterback, Kirk? As head coach?
No, sir.
He's under 500.
Okay, I'm talking about the time.
Oh, I know. I know what happened in 2009. Brady blew out his knee and he went 11-5 with Matt Castle. I know that. That was a great coaching job. But for his career, okay, he is under 500 without Tom Brady. So whose system is it?
It's the quarterback system is what it is.
Without Brady, if you look at Belichick's win-loss percentage, without Brady, he turns into Rex Ryan.
Yeah. I honestly believe I would take off 10 years remaining in my life if Brady went more than 9-7 this year. It ain't going to happen.
Why?
Because he's a New England quarterback. He's a Belichick quarterback. He made him look good.
So if Brady had played for any other team, he would have just been another guy. He would have been Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins.
No,
he would have just been an average player.
No, he'd been elite. He just wouldn't have 6 Super Bowls. He would be lucky to have 2. If Favre was in that, they probably have 8 right now.
So, wait a minute. You're another one of these guys who thinks Favre's better than Brady?
Yes, he's the system's quarterback. He's not that great. He is good, really good, really, really.
Do you know how damning it is? Do you know how, like, you make it sound like saying a guy's a system quarterback is not a derogatory statement about somebody? When you call somebody a system quarterback, you are pretty much saying that it wasn't that player that made the team good. It was something else. That's what you're implying when you say that.
No, I'm saying he's a great quarterback.
So let me just ask you this then: if it's such a great system, how did Belichick go 4-12 with Drew Bledsoe his first year, $100 million quarterback who had taken another team to the Super Bowl? If the system's so great.
Wow, you may have a point there, but
okay, thank you, Kirk. Appreciate that. Here's Jeremy in Mississippi on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. I just got to say, Brady versus the Saints secondary has been horrendous, and I do mean horrendous, the past, I'd say, 5 years. So just the Saints secondary alone is going to make Tom Brady look like he's a top 3 quarterback, which, you know,
I mean, there's a reason why the Saints tried to get Clowney at the last second because they wanted to make their pass rush better, because they wanted to be better up front. So, man, I did not look, I love debate and discussion. I'm just a little bit surprised that I've took 2 consecutive phone calls from places that weren't Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with people trying to tell me that Favre was better than Brady. And people that appeared by their accent and tone of voice to not be related to Brett Favre. Wow. That was something else. Notre Dame 1-0 as a member of the ACC. 27-13. But it wasn't easy and it wasn't pretty. Which this season for them is about getting to the ACC championship and giving Clemson a good game. right? Because the ACC has been a one-school league for the last 4 or 5 years since Florida State has fallen apart, since Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston left town. So it's on Notre Dame to give Clemson an adversary in all wins in college football don't count the same. There are style points. This isn't the NFL. And this is supposed to be a top 10 team. And I watched this game from start to finish today, and they did not impress me one bit. So congratulations on joining a conference for the first time in 131 years. But if this is any indicator of what Notre Dame is, don't expect too much more this year. Maybe they're an 8-3 team, 9-2 at best. All right. Coming up on many of these same stations, very good host. I like him a lot. Carrington Harrison. Thank you for listening to the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.